Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 425. I'm Dave Elliott, and I fight dirty. Ears will be bitten. Today, the 425th issue of the Fantastic Four is Fantastic Four, Volume 2, Number 9, from July 1997. Legacy, plot by Jim Lee, script by Brandon Choi, and art by Britt Booth. The issue starts in space with a guy named Pyreus Krill. You might know him better as that big flaming herald of Galactus, Fire Lord. Actually, more appropriately, he is one of the heralds of Galactus. In this universe, Galactus has multiple heralds, which actually makes a lot of sense. Fire Lord is on a mission to Alpha Terra 1 to inspect the condition of the Catalyst Pod. What does the Catalyst Pod do? What do you think it does? It's a catalyst for the creation of life on barren planets, sent out by Galactus to create yummy, delicious planets for the Big G to eat on at harvest time. So I guess we're to assume that Galactus also created life on Earth? Galactus is the Big G, as in God. Well, on Alpha Terra 1, Fire Lord notices that the catalyst pod is broken, and it's going to take several million years for this planet to progress to the point of edibility.
Herald, Galactus calls for Fire Lord.
Master, he replies. Galactus tells Fire Lord that his other herald, the Silver Surfer, has found another suitable planet for him to feast on. It's a planet called Earth. Galactus orders Fire Lord to join him and his other heralds, the Silver Surfer and Terax, and don't be late. Fire Lord doesn't really enjoy watching Galactus eat planets, but he agreed to be his herald to save his own planet of Xandar. So he speeds off to be with his master and his crew. Back on Earth, Ben, Sue, and Reed are prisoners of the Inhumans, and they're shackled up and being led into the great refuge, the city Attilan. Once again, Reed recognizes some of the inscriptions on some nearby columns as being similar to some he saw back on the Mole Man's Island. Ben says he wants to go ahead and start busting some heads, but Reed tells him to be patient. They finally arrive at the throne room and are surprised to see a statue of the Silver Surfer, who is standing there right beside statues of Fire Lord and Galactus. Apparently, to the Inhumans, Galactus is God. Who knew? Of all the religions in the world, the Inhumans are the ones who get it right. Black Bolt is sitting on his throne, flanked by his family, including Gorgon, who says that the FF are dangerous and their continued existence puts the Great Refuge at great risk. Black Bolt wants to hear what the FF have to say first, before Gorgon kills them. Medusa welcomes them to Attilan and tells them that Johnny's safe. She introduces their leader, Black Bolt, and says their fate is in his hands. Sue says that she's no danger to their city. She just wants to get her brother and go home. Their secret will be safe with them. Or so they say. Black Bolt says, well, doesn't say anything. Medusa says that Black Bolt says that the FF should remain there in the Great Refuge. Ben doesn't care for that idea, and he gets agitated. So Gorgon steps in, reaches out, and starts choking the thing. I'll be doing the same thing after this podcast is over. So anyway, Gorgon tells Ben to hold his tongue, or he will have to dispose of it. Ben rips out his chains, and it's clobbering time. He leaps toward Black Bolt, and they tussle with each other, and they fall backwards and through the back wall. Medusa wraps up Reed with her hair. Sue freaks out.
Her hair! It's alive! She says.
Reed replies, "Mm-mm-mm." So anyway, they all start to fight, even though Reed says they didn't come to fight. He doesn't realize he's in a comic book. No matter what they do, there has to be fighting. During the fight, Reed and Sue jump over a wall, and Reed yells back at Ben to execute plan Romeo, Charlie, Abel. Ben's like, plan what? He probably thinks it sounds like a fun time with three guys named Romeo, Charlie, and Abel, but then he recalls that it's a retreat and counterattack plan. Ben jumps over the wall, and Reed has turned into a slingshot. As the Inhumans stand by the edge of the wall and look back at the Fantastic Four, Reed shoots Ben back toward the wall, hitting the area around the Inhumans, causing massive damage to the wall of the city. Next, Sue turns Reed, Ben, and herself invisible, and they slip away. They try finding Johnny, And they eventually do, but he's all dressed up in a fancy outfit provided by the Inhumans, and he's got Crystal by his side, and he seems like he's ready to attack the Fantastic Four himself. He shoots flames at them, but Crystal has to remind him that they're his friends, and they need them unharmed. Boy, it didn't take long for Johnny to get pussy-whipped, did it? He explains to his teammates that the Inhumans don't want to keep the FF as hostages because they need their help. So later, the FF are sitting at a table with the royal family, and Medusa begins to explain their situation. A new Walmart has opened in the Great Refuge, and it's driven everyone else out of business. Actually, that's not true. She says that the Inhumans get their powers from the Terrigen Mist, which emanates from a source hidden deep in the maze-like caverns under Attilan. For some reason, Ben thinks that story sounds ridiculous, that they would get their powers from some so-called Terrigen Mist. Johnny reminds them that, they got their powers from cosmic radiation. So next to that, the Terrigen Mist don't seem so far-fetched. Medusa continues to explain that Black Bolt's brother, Maximus, went into the caverns trying to locate the source of the mist, and he never came back. He disappeared, and the Terrigen Mist stopped flowing into the city. And then, these crazy mutant creatures showed up and started attacking the Inhumans, so they had to seal off the entrance to the caverns. Now, they plan to go back into the caverns to see what's going on. They needed that Macula tablet, which is why Medusa went to that museum in New York to get it back. But for some reason, they can't even read the language on the tablet, and Reed can, so they give him a pencil and paper and they ask him to translate it. He ends up using the tablet to draw a map that leads to the source of the Terrigen Mist. Crystal tells her family, "I told you they would prove useful allies," which of course she's saying because she just wants to get into Johnny's pants. Bad. Medusa says they better get down to the caverns right away. Soon, the royal family and the FF head down to the Terrigen Caverns. Gorgon and Ben reopen the sealed-up caves, and they head inside. Once in the caverns, they see dinosaurs! Ben says it looks like some kind of Jurassic Park down there. Where's Star-Lord when you need him? And then the dinosaurs start running toward everyone, and they keep running right on by, like they were running away from something. And then a giant net falls over everyone. A bunch of subterranean creatures emerge, along with Maximus the Mad, who says that he now has control over the Terrigen Mist, and he has the power to determine the fate of Attilan and all the Inhumans, and he calls himself the Great Devourer. Is that their name for God, the Great Devourer? Anyway, that's it for this issue. To be continued next time. And in the next episode, what is the fate of Attilan and the Inhumans? If Maximus is the Great Devourer, what does he plan to eat? And what's going to happen with Johnny and Crystal and their relationship? And whatever happened to Matthew Storm? So before I go, I have a couple of emails. Yes, emails. Two emails, although the first one came about 12 days ago. Sorry it took so long to respond. Number one.
Hi, Dave. If you haven't seen Age of Ultron yet, I just wanted to let you know that there's a flying bathtub cameo in the film, and as soon as I saw it, I thought of you and your podcast. Stephen from Ormskirk, England.
How about that accent I just did? I nailed it. Nailed it. So yeah, I just saw Age of Ultron a couple of days ago, and I was keeping an eye out for the flying bathtub the entire time, and I managed to catch it. And oddly enough, there's a trailer for the movie Tomorrowland before the movie, and in that film, George Clooney also has a flying bathtub. I saw two flying bathtubs in one afternoon at the movies. It's crazy. It's fantastic. They also showed the trailer for the fourth Fantastic Four movie, and unfortunately, no flying bathtub, and nothing else for me to get excited about for that matter. So anyway, thanks for the heads up, Stephen. Email number two.
Hello, Dave. Really enjoying your coverage of the Heroes Reborn FF. Your podcast, not the actual issues. I'm rereading along with your podcast, and I had forgotten just how bad they were. I would also like to ask for some advice. I will be attempting my first podcast. It's going to focus on the comics of John Byrne. And I'm curious what you use to produce your show. What programs do you use to record and edit? What kind of mic? How do you choose your music? How do you publish your podcast? And any help you have will be appreciated. Thanks and keep the shows coming. Tim Elliott, Texas. P.S. Have you seen the latest FF trailer? What do you think now that we get to see four powers on display? I think the thing looks like an animated sack of gravel. He is way too rocky.
Hi, thanks for the email, Tim. Should I have attempted some kind of Texas accent? You never know in America. We don't have cool accents like the British do. So, I find the podcast fairly easy to make. I purchased this thing called the Elsys podcasting kit, which came with just a USB microphone and earphones. I don't even use the earphones, just a microphone. And really, any decent microphone will do. My favorite program for recording the podcast is called Audacity, which you can download online for free. You can record audio from your microphone, import sound effects and music that you have on your PC or your computer or whatever. And more importantly, at least in my case, you can delete all your mistakes, which I do quite often. And to publish the podcast, I use Podbean.com. At first, I started out paying them like a yearly fee, but I realized that since my podcasts are so small, I don't use up very much bandwidth, and I switched over to their free plan. I don't know if that helps at all. If you have any more specific questions, just send me an email and I'll reply. Also, let me know when you publish your first episode. You can probably tell that I love John Byrne and his work. I've read everything that he's done, I think. Even Spider-Man Chapter 1, which is like a horrible Heroes Reborn for Spider-Man. And as I said earlier, I have seen the trailer for the FF movie, and I am not impressed. Everything I've read seems to indicate that the movie will be a train wreck. I've heard they've changed Reed's power so that he's not really stretching, but he's warping reality or something like that. The filmmakers seem like embarrassed to be making a comic book movie. And yeah, you're right about the thing. He doesn't look right. I'm curious as to why in the movies they never give him that very large, distinctive brow that the Thing has in the comics. It's such a defining characteristic of the Thing, and without it, he just doesn't look like the Thing. So thanks for the emails, both of you. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes to iTunes and find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. I'm jaded, and you're beautiful. I'm deluded. I'm envious of you. You're caring that I'm hurting. But I'm laughing because I'm lying. You believe what I say to me.